Good morning and welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Lakers Insider for Lakers Daily. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about guards. Yeah, we're going to be talking about small people and why I don't think the Lakers should be adding any more of them to their current roster this summer. We're also going to be talking about a big person in Christian Wood opting into his current contract and the timing of it all and how I was kind of surprised by that. And then a very, very dark thought crossed my mind while I've been watching these, especially the Western Conference playoffs to this point. Are the Lakers actually that close? Like, I've thought so to this point. But good Lord, the Minnesota Timberwolves and good Lord, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Let's talk about it all right now here on the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. Quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button if you guys are watching on YouTube right now. If you guys are watching or if you guys are listening via podcast form, go ahead and find this podcast. Or you've already found it. You did the hard part. Go ahead and please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your podcasts, preferably on Odyssey. If you have any questions that you definitely want covered on the show, leave them in the form of a five-star review on iTunes, and I will get to them there. And yeah, we have a nice, fun offseason ahead of us. I'm working on the player review series. If you guys remember, this became a bit of a bit last year. I'm hoping that it won't become a bit again this year. So you guys have that to look forward to. And I'll also have some infrastructure stuff working that hopefully we'll have ironed out here before the offseason really gets going in full. But yeah, subscribe, like, comment, review, all of those things. Tell friends, all of them. All right, let's go ahead and start with a tweet that I sent that I thought was pretty innocuous. Like, I thought it was a pretty straightforward observation. Harrison always laughs at me when this happens, where I will say something that just seems very straightforward to me in my brain. Just something that, like, I'm just like, it's like me pointing out, hey, look at that, the sky's blue today. And then for whatever reason, it gets crazy traction and traffic on Twitter. In this case, watching the Minnesota Timberwolves beat the absolute shit out of the Denver Nuggets, my takeaway from that was the following. The Lakers can't possibly watch this Wolves-Nuggets series and think Trae Young or Donovan Mitchell is the answer. They just can't. You guys can look at it right there. I sent that at 2:03 a.m. my time, which is like midnight Pacific. And to this point, it has gotten a million views. So sure, why not? Again, no idea why that worked out that way. No idea why that is a controversial observation. Most people have agreed. I think it's nearing like 12,000 likes. I don't know where it's at. 13,000 likes. So most people, I would say, have agreed with the sentiment. The people who disagree really disagree. So you have that going on. But yeah, I've been watching, especially the playoffs in the Western Conference, and I just don't think the answer here is to get smaller. And that's what you would be doing if you trade the number of people that you need to trade for either Trae Young or Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell makes a little bit more sense. He plays bigger than Trae Young does. But with both of those guys, they're like barely above 6 foot. Trae Young has really struggled to play off of the ball for most of his career. I don't want to gamble on him figuring that out while he plays with LeBron, or when he would have to figure that out while he's playing with LeBron. You know, on the other end, they would have to guard, you know, like you could try to hide. You could probably more realistically hide those guys on, say, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, or you know, maybe Mike Conley, if you know, if you're building your team to try to deal with the Minnesota Timberwolves. But if you're trying to deal with the Oklahoma City Thunder, like you want them, I guess you could say that I don't even know who they would guard. It wouldn't be Shea, right? Like there, you're hoping that your shooting guard who's playing alongside those guys is equipped to guard Shea or Jamal or Ant, who's even more terrifying of the, you know, than the two other players that I mentioned. But like you're really kind of searching. And by the way, if you do this and you keep one of Austin or D'Lo, you run into the same problems that you're going to run into, or that you ran into this last year, where the fit isn't, I think, going to be supernatural, where you have a ball dominant guard playing next to probably D'Lo, right? D'Lo says he doesn't like to play off of the ball. You can't let D'Lo walk for nothing, because you know, you can't just lose that cap slot for nothing. So you would probably have to bring back D'Lo and trade Austin and probably Rui and me, and I think even another contract beyond that. Actually, no, I know it's another contract beyond that. So like the contractually speaking, and just in terms of like what we've learned from the playoffs dating back to when the Lakers last won a championship, they basically, I was talking to my dad about this today. I was walking through HEB, or, you know, it's a grocery store out here in Texas. And I was, you know, we were talking on the phone, and, you know, we made the point, or he made the point of like, yeah, the Lakers kind of put together the format. They figured it out.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
A bunch of versatile perimeter defenders, a absolutely demoralizing rim presence or help defender, enough on-ball creativity on offense to get by, but for the most part you're just going to, you know, rely on special offensive players to be special and dominate that way. And you look at how Dallas or Denver won it last year. You look at how Milwaukee won it previously. You look at how Minnesota is currently beating Denver. And the Lakers, they figured it out. They stumbled drunkenly into that equation. They solved that equation. And then like ran away from it. They were just like, yeah, that was fun, but what if we do this with a bunch of really small people, right? And at first it was with Dennis Schroeder. That was the first acquisition. And that team was closer to this equation than the albatross that they went out and acquired in Russell Westbrook. And you know, you could really make an argument. I hope this isn't the case, but you really make an argument that you basically slammed your window shut by going out and trading for Russell Westbrook. So what do you do there? Right. And so like for the Lakers right now, they're trying to figure out, how do you get back to that equation? How do you know, ditch this path that they have been on since they have been searching blindly through the desert of time to try to find a point guard who alleviates the pressure off of LeBron? That's not how you do it, man. Like, that's not how you alleviate the pressure off of LeBron. You help him on the defensive side. You give him enough space on offense so that when he drives to the basket, he isn't getting clobbered by three or four people in the paint. And you hope that Anthony Davis at some point steps into being the actual best player on a championship caliber team. The Lakers right now are kind of 0-3, right? Like this on the team that they have currently, they don't have the versatile defenders who can make life easier on LeBron. You could say Jared Vanderbilt. Okay. That's the list. It's just Jared Vanderbilt. You could maybe say Gabe Vincent, but like Gabe Vincent can guard guards and only guards. That's it. He's 6 foot. And that's it. And you would say, all right, well, how'd they do in the shooting department? Well, D'Angelo Russell does make life easier. He is the best shooter in Lakers franchise history, statistically, and even actually, I would say. The season that he just had is better than anything any Laker has ever done before. So, okay, he spreads the floor for you a little bit. Although, he also says that he doesn't like operating as a floor spacer and isn't necessarily treated like one. You would say Austin Reeves, and okay, like I think Austin was pretty good from three-point range. He wasn't, he had kind of a weird season, honestly, from three-point range. So there's your shooting, I guess, because, Anthony Davis, not a shooter. Christian Wood, who they brought into space the floor alongside Anthony Davis, not a shooter. Rui Hachimura made a decent number, like a decent percentage of his threes, but didn't do anything on enough volume to really make any kind of a difference. Gabe Vincent made 4 more threes over the course of the year than I did. And that's it. Torian Prince, okay, floor spacer. But for whatever reason, sucks from the corners. And if you like this, whoever the Lakers bring in next year as their head coach, somebody on your staff next year, Lakers, I know you guys watch these things. Please hire a shooting coach. Enough of this. Well, we trust the players. And no. You've been far too inconsistent a three-point shooting team for like long enough now where you can ditch that approach. Pony up, get somebody who players can kind of go to, who can work with your coaching staff and relay to the to those players' camps what shots to work on during downtime or in the offseason. Get somebody who travels with the team, who talks to these guys about their shooting mechanics and works with their shooting people. But like enough, like the Lakers have been bad enough for long enough as a 3-point shooting organization that like, okay, go out and at least just humor me. I'm not saying go out and spend a shit ton of money on who's the guy? The celebrity shooting specialist guy. Lethal Shooter. Not saying you got to go and go out and pony up for that guy because, I would imagine he's pretty expensive because of how much money he makes off of social media and his private clients, but somebody, anybody, anybody, please go fill that position. But to wrap up this segment and wrap up this point, in the East, I think you can get by with a smallish guard, but Cleveland made the second round of the playoffs this year. It doesn't help that their other guard is also tiny in Darius Garland. Trae Young, made a Western or an Eastern Conference Finals. Hasn't really mattered since, right? So I don't know. I know that this is something that the Lakers are going to look into, but I would much rather use whatever capital that they feel they feel the need to use to go out and just get two-way help, get longer, get more versatile, get more athletic, get younger, right? And see what your roster looks like that way. But I just feel like I'm you go out and use everything that you would need to use to go out and get Trae Young, to go out and get Donovan Mitchell, and you're left with a bare bones roster beyond Mitchell / Young, LeBron and AD. It's a bunch of minimums after that. And I just don't think that trio is maximized enough to make up for how thin you would have to be behind them. And then, you remember you're not competing in the East. Like, the East has one good basketball team right now in Boston. That's it. And in the West, though, it's going to be better next year. Denver's going to take this. They're going to learn, I would imagine, from this ass kicking that they're getting from the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Wolves themselves are going to be better because Anthony Edwards is only 22 years old. The Oklahoma City Thunder are probably going to reach the Western Conference Finals, and they have all of the assets in the world, clean books, and a bunch of really young, talented players who are going to get better next year. And then on top of that, like, you have Memphis is going to get better next year. Houston is going to be better next year. Wemby is going to be in his second year next season, and that's a terrifying proposition in and of itself. Yeah, I think the Clippers are probably going to take a step back because either they're going to run it back with a bad team, or they are, you know, or Paul George is going to be gone. So maybe that helps you. Who knows with Utah? We've all been waiting for them to get more realistic about the players that they have to trade to really, you know, buy into this or commit to the rebuild that they need to embark on. But, like, you're talking about, and maybe Portland probably gets better next year, but probably not in a meaningful enough way to really matter. But, like, the entire Western Conference is going to be tougher. You know, I didn't even mention the Kings, who beat the shit out of the Lakers four times this year. So, like, this, the Western Conference is going to be another dogfight night in, night out. And it's going to be a bunch of big physical Western Conference teams. And I just don't know if I trust Trae Young or Donovan Mitchell to A, get you through that, or B, you know, really help you in playoff series against those kinds of teams. In actual Lakers news, Christian Wood opted into his contract. Mike Scotto, you know, friend of the show, reported that that was going to be the case. This took me by surprise because you know, the timing of it is really interesting. So it surprised me for a few reasons. One, I had been told that they were going to ask around and look and see what the market looked like, right? I would imagine they did that. The market already last year was pretty disappointing for Wood. He wound up having to take a minimum contract. And, you know, that was, you go from teens of millions, you know, tens of millions of dollars per year to a vet min contract. Normally, if you're picking up your player option, you had an absolutely disastrous first year of that 2 year contract. I didn't think, like, I thought it was frustrating, but I didn't think it was, like, disastrous for Christian Wood. So this really kind of surprised me. The other part of this that took me aback a little bit too was Wood does this with a Lakers organization, opts into his player option. That, by the way, like, I don't think he would be out of the league next year. So he would, I think, relatively easily be able to, like, find a vet min contract in a potentially better situation next year, because you know that the Lakers are going to be on the lookout for an upgrade with their backup big spot. So unless Wood is comfortable being the third string big next year, I don't understand it. I didn't get it. I think this helps the Lakers. Knowing this as early as they do now really helps the Lakers because, you know, you have this expiring trade chip, and maybe this is part of why they did it. You know, maybe Wood and the Lakers are going to work together to find a destination that makes a little bit more sense for him than the Lakers might next year. His reputation also around the league isn't great. You know, it's been trending downward now for a while, as most evidenced again by the contract that he had to take last summer. And now having to opt into this would indicate that his reputation certainly didn't improve in league circles. So it really kind of surprised me, but, like, just looking at this from a purely basketball standpoint, I actually liked some of the things that Christian Wood did this year when he was healthy. really weird circumstance where he somehow bruised his knee during the All-Star break and was never able to play again. Again, odd how that played out there. Maybe that's part of the reason why he had to take this player option, is because of how weird those circumstances were. But I don't know. I thought he did an okay job in some stretches, or during some stretches, defensively as just basically a rim protector. His shot never came around, and I think he's one of those shooters who isn't actually a shooter. Again, super weird, right? The Lakers, who don't employ a shooting coach, keep getting these guys who forget how to shoot when they walk through the doors. But I don't know. This really kind of surprised me, and I think it's something that the Lakers should be able to take advantage of, whether it's using him as an expiring contract this upcoming year, or having, you know, going into the season with the understanding that you're probably, you know, at the center spot. So long as you get somebody who splits the difference between Anthony Davis and Christian Wood, if you're able to fill that gap there between those two players, that's a decent center rotation, I would say. So I'm actually fairly optimistic about what this means for the Lakers. And we'll see what, you know, it actually amounts to. But surprising decision. The timing of it really kind of surprised me, and we'll see what it looks like. All right, the final topic here, I don't want to spend too much time on it because, frankly, it's kind of dark, and I am recording this at midnight after the Mavs and Thunder game, my time. I'm sitting here and I'm watching OKC, and I'm sitting here and I'm watching Minnesota. And these two organizations, now you never want to overreact to the first game or the first even game or two of a series. However, in Minnesota's case, they just beat the shit out of the Denver Nuggets in Denver. They're going back to Minnesota, right? No, maybe. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they beat. I don't know why I blanked there. They beat the shit out of the Denver Nuggets, the reigning champions. You had Anthony Edwards getting MVP chance in Ball Arena. Like, that was something that was actually happening in Denver. So I would, you know, that series feels like it's over. You never know. You know, we've seen the Nuggets come back from stuff before, but that feels like it's over. You have in OKC a trio of J-Dub, SGA, and Chet, who fit really, really well together. I saw somebody saying that, like, maybe they're better than the trio of KD, Harden, and Russ. Those are three Hall of Famers. Let's calm down a little bit there. I don't think J-Dub or Chet are going to win an MVP at any point in their careers. And Russ and Harden both did, as well as KD, right? But they fit really well together. And good Lord, OKC has every asset that you could possibly hope for. You have an absolutely clean cap sheet moving forward. You have the coach of the year and one of the, you know, brightest up and coming coaches in the league, manning your sideline. You have Sam Presti, who has now built two different, just absolutely stellar cores. For whatever reason, OKC, being a brand new organization, figured this out. Like, I would make the argument, given how, like, little time they have actually spent rooting for the NBA, that Oklahoma City Thunder fans are the most fortunate in NBA history right now. No, they haven't won a championship quite yet. And yeah, you it sucks to have, like, watched your organization fumble the bag the way that they did with that trio before. But you've rooted for maybe, like, 2 years of bad basketball. Every other year, your team has been a championship. Almost every other year, your team has been a championship contender. Ask Minnesota fans if they would swap spots with you. Ask Clippers fans if they would switch places with you. Ask almost any other small market if they would switch with you. And basically, the only organizations I think that wouldn't are the ones that you know, already have a championship in their back pocket. But, you know, some fans, some especially younger fans, haven't seen that championship in their lifetime, right? Like Blazers fans haven't watched their team win a championship in like, what, 50 years? Something crazy? You know, like Celtics fan, no, I'm kidding. But like Magic's fans would happily switch places. I think the Heat would probably keep their run that they've been able to enjoy. But like OKC fans, you know, when you're talking about, you know, because being a fan is mathematically stupid. Like being a sports fan is just mathematically really, really dumb. And especially if you, you know, go about it the way that we do as Lakers fans, where it's championship or bust, you're probably not going to like walk away from very many seasons particularly happy if that's how you're going to look at this. So if you're able to like fully contextualize like what you're watching as a fan of the Oklahoma City Thunder, that's a pretty privileged, you know, situation that those fans have there. But they're going to be better next year. The Wolves are going to be better next year. And I don't know, like, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I really want to suss it out. But I don't know if the Lakers are all that close to those two teams right now. And certainly might not be all that close after another year's worth of improvement for both of those really young organizations, right? Like cores, I guess is how I'll say it, right? So I still think that gambling on LeBron and AD and expending every, you know, heading down, looking down every avenue, turning over every couch cushion to try to, you know, maximize the last year or two or few of the LeBron James and Anthony Davis era makes the most sense. But when you look at these two organizations and you look at the way that the Lakers have really sucked on the margins, it's hard. Like, and this is how I felt. Like, this is how I have this is how I have felt the last couple of nights. Hard not to feel like the Lakers window is like that much open right now. Maybe you could prop it open a little bit, but that Russ trade, man, damn it, that Russ trade. All right, that is going to do it here for this shorter episode of the Lakers Lowdown podcast. We'll be back at it again tomorrow night to you know, maybe talk about some of this stuff live. I'm kind of planting the seed to see what the response is going to be to that last segment there. And we'll see. Like we you know, we're still waiting to hear a little bit more about the direction that the Lakers are going to take their coaching search. Kind of interesting that we didn't get any further updates, right? After getting a list of names, haven't heard about any further names. And I do feel like the Lou thing is real. I do feel like the Lakers are waiting for Lou, and we'll see how long the Lakers are willing to wait. We'll see how long Lou was willing to wait for the Clippers to figure out his extension. And we'll see how long the Clippers are willing to wait for the Lakers to find a head coach before they, you know, really start negotiating a contract with Ty Lue. I don't think that we'll get any kind of clarity. This is speculation here, but I don't think we'll get any clarity on the Lou front until one of those three parties kind of blinks. So we'll talk about that, I'm sure, tomorrow as well. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I will talk to you tomorrow.